Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we are on page 23, and it is April 13th. Thanks for joining us. And in the studio with me, I have Joe and Linda back with me today. Welcome, panelists.
Hello.
Hi.
And Linda, what is something we discussed yesterday?
Well, we talked about flying taxis.
We did. And who is flying these taxis, or what company is kind of behind this?
Uber.
All right. And it's called Uber Air. And when are they supposed to start flying these things?
They have a very intense goal of getting these things flying by 2020 and then having it in full swing by 2028.
And in which city is it?
This is going to be done in Los Angeles.
That's right. And so there are a lot of hurdles. We talked about that yesterday. The company is facing lots of issues, but they're trying to work through them. And so if you were not able to join us yesterday, we hope you can go back and listen to the program. And we hope you can at least read the article on page 22. Today, though, we are going into the world of health. What are we talking about today, Linda?
We are talking about a particular health problem that is referred to as AFib.
And so AFib, as we're going to get into in the article, you might think to yourself, I have a healthy heart, I don't have any problems. But we find that there are some other telltale indicators, there are some things that we can see that say you have a problem, and why AFib is such a serious issue.
Well, AFib is referring to atrial fibrillation. And that is simply irregular twitchings of the muscular wall of the heart. And it throws the heart off of out of rhythm. You have these abnormal heart rhythms. And so that, of course, is an issue. And many people suffer from this, actually. And there are many risk factors involved as well. We'll get into all of that and more as we discuss this potentially serious issue, actually. So if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it to page 23, and we'll have our first reading for today.
AFib heart problem more common than thought. Several million older Americans have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, the abnormal heart rhythm abbreviated as AFib, because they experienced symptoms such as palpitations, dizziness, and shortness of breath. Yet, many others may have the heart condition without realizing it, raising their risk of stroke, according to a new study co-authored by mainline health cardiologist Peter R. Coey. Coey and his co-authors monitored 385 older patients who were at risk of AFib because of diabetes, high blood pressure, and other telltale indicators, but who had not been diagnosed with the rhythm disorder. Physicians implanted a slender wireless rhythm recording device beneath each patient's collarbone.
All right, well, many people in America are suffering from this, and no doubt people all over the world deal with this issue. We see that several million older Americans have been diagnosed with AFib. And again, AFib is abnormal heart rhythm. And there are some symptoms involved, Joe.
Right. And so some symptoms that people experience are things like palpitations, dizziness, and shortness of breath. That palpitations is just means, you know, that sort of irregular heartbeat. Maybe it's a little bit quicker than normal. So the heartbeat is not regular.
Some people would describe that as a fluttering sensation. Or maybe like your heart feels like it's racing because it's kind of, I guess, skipping beats, right?
Right. And so someone might experience heart palpitations, that fluttering feeling.
Right. And others, they feel dizzy, or they feel this shortness of breath, and some people they experience nausea. And so there are lots of things involved with this and symptoms involved. So we see many others may have the heart condition without realizing it, and that's what's kind of scary, and that's what we're focusing in on here too in this article. Is if you have a problem and you don't know about it and you're at risk for something such as stroke, that could be dangerous. And who is involved with this study, Linda?
A cardiologist by the name of Peter R. Coey.
Okay, and he's with Mainline Health. Coey and his co-authors monitored how many older patients?
So they monitored 385 older patients. And these patients, they're at risk of AFib, but maybe they haven't been diagnosed. And older here, I imagine, is probably 55 and older, maybe 60 and older. It doesn't actually tell us specifically what age.
Right, it doesn't say, but yeah, you can imagine they are, you know, older, so they're not in their 20s, right? So they're at risk of AFib because of diabetes, high blood pressure, and other telltale indicators. If you're at risk of something, that means it's possible, it's very possible that you may suffer from that disease. And if there are telltale indicators, what are they saying there, Linda? We often use that word telltale to mean what?
Well, that it's very obvious that they will get this if something is telltale, like almost for sure.
Okay, and there, it's like a sign, right? These indicators that, you know, you could suffer from this. You know, they have diabetes and high blood pressure. So these are indicators. They're saying, hey, watch out. You could have a stroke eventually.
Right. And another common way I see telltale is usually like what you were saying, telltale signs. You know, just things that make it very clear that there is at least some problem, even if they haven't specifically diagnosed it and said they have AFib exactly, but they have the signs and indicators that there's a problem.
So these are signs that you could have AFib, and AFib sometimes is linked to strokes as well, which we will talk about later. And so obviously I think people know that if you have high blood pressure, well, of course that could be a sign that you could eventually have a stroke. Well, physicians implanted a slender wireless rhythm recording device beneath each patient's collarbone. Now, if you implant something, what are you doing, Joe?
Right. So here, if you're implanting something, you're taking a device and putting it into the body. And so here they're implanting it or putting it in at the collarbone. So just over kind of the pair of bones that extend from your throat to your shoulders.
All right. Very good explanation there, Joe. And so we see that this is how they are doing the study. And they have technology involved. And we're going to learn more about the patients and this study, some of the specifics. So let's find out about that in our next reading.
The longer the patients were followed, the more they experienced at least one episode of AFib, lasting 6 minutes or more, the authors reported in the journal JAMA Cardiology. 6 months into the study, 20.4% of patients were found to have AFib. After 1 year, that figure rose to 27.1%. By 30 months, 40% of patients were determined to have suffered at least one episode of this type of abnormal rhythm. Patients with atrial fibrillation are typically counseled to take blood-thinning medications called anticoagulants. That is because during an episode of AFib, the patient's blood may stagnate and form a dangerous clot, leading to a stroke.
All right, so the longer the patients were followed, the more they experienced at least one episode of AFib lasting 6 minutes or more. So this is all recorded there in this journal, JAMA Cardiology, and you can find out more there if you care to. Well, what happens 6 months into the study?
20.4% of the patients were found to have AFib.
All right, 20.4%. All right, what about after 1 year, Joe?
Right, so after 1 year, that figure is continuing to rise, and now it's gone from 20.4% to 27.1%.
And then we go to 30 months. 40% of the patients were determined to have suffered at least one episode of AFib, this type of abnormal rhythm. And so the longer they follow them, we see that the numbers increase, right?
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, of course, as they get older, I think it's more likely to occur. So it makes sense that as time goes on and as they do the study, they see more cases of it occur. But also it's interesting because I could imagine several of these people, if they weren't doing the study, might have had an episode, not known what happened, and then just never got it diagnosed.
Right. That's a very good point. What do doctors usually tell patients to do who suffer from AFib?
Well, they're told to take blood-thinning medications called anticoagulants.
All right, that's a big, long medical term, but of course, it's a blood-thinning medication. And that is because during an episode of AFib, the patient's blood may stagnate and a clot can form. So if something stagnates, it's not active. And so it kind of, the blood isn't flowing as it should, and a clot can form, and clots, blood clots, are very, extremely dangerous.
Right. So a blood clot, is depending on where it is, can be fatal. Mm. You know, if you get a blood clot in your lung, or in your heart, or anywhere that's very vital, it can be, you'll basically die from having the clot. And so here, people are taking anticoagulants, which we mentioned were blood-thinning medications, which if you are taking anticoagulants, you should not be drinking. Just going to mention that here, because if as you're drinking, you can thin out your blood even more, mm-hmm. which can also be potentially dangerous.
You're talking about drinking alcohol.
Alcohol, right.
You shouldn't not be drinking
You can drink
water.
But you shouldn't be drinking wine yes. or, you know, hanging out and having right. shots or something.
No. We often refer to, when we say you shouldn't be drinking, we're obviously referring to alcohol.
Right. If someone says they've stopped drinking, you'll still see them drinking water, just
right.
not. but yeah, so if you want to avoid having these clots, anticoagulants are very important.
That's right. And so this is what doctors recommend. And, you know, if you are on this blood thinning medication, hopefully it will prevent the clots mm-hmm. from occurring. So in our last reading today, we're going to talk about strokes and when they occur and how that may or may not be directly related to AFib. Let's learn about that in our last reading for today.
Yet, strokes can occur weeks after the heart rhythm has returned to normal, suggesting that they might not be directly caused by AFib, Coe said. Instead, the higher rate of stroke may stem from a related symptom, scarring on the atrial walls. People are starting to believe that AFib is a signal that the atrium is sick, Coe said. The rate of stroke in older people is about 1% to 2% per year. Among those diagnosed with AFib, the risk is roughly 3 times that high, Coe said.
So strokes can occur weeks after the heart rhythm has returned to normal. And so it's often thought that AFib directly leads to a stroke. But we see here that sometimes, Joe, that strokes can occur after the heart is back in its normal rhythm.
Right. So this is sort of the unusual thing and the question that people have, which is, okay, I've had, you know, an incident with AFib, and then, you know, I've been taking my medication, seems my heart rate and everything seems to be operating within normal parameters, but then I have a stroke, and it's weeks later. So what exactly is the relationship between the two? And like we were mentioning before, it seemed to, before we thought, oh, AFib causes heart stroke. But now that doesn't seem to quite be the case.
Possibly. This is suggesting this. So they don't really know yet, but it's like they found something new that says, hey, what we've thought all along may not be exactly true, but it's kind of on a technical point, right?
Right. And actually, your phrasing of it is so perfect where it's like, it may not exactly quite be.
Yeah.
So you'll always notice, like, scientists use words like might.
Yes.
Possibly. But then what we get with headlines for newspapers is, it's definitely this.
Right.
So a scientist might say, there's a slight possibility of this happening. Newspaper will say, it's definitely this.
And oftentimes we'll use the words like could, so we don't make these broad statements that may turn out to be untrue. But it could lead to this, and so this is what the evidence suggests so far.
Good. And also that's another nice word for it. Evidence suggests that there might be this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So instead, the higher rate of stroke may stem from a related symptom. So the AFib is involved, but it's not directly involved. It's possibly indirectly involved.
Right. And here they use the word related. So it has something to do with it, but isn't the direct cause.
So the higher rate of stroke may stem from, that phrase stem from, Joe?
Stem from just means it might be coming from. It might start with that issue, but it might come from a related symptom.
What is that related symptom?
Scarring on the atrial walls.
Okay, and if you look at the diagram there at the top of page 23, you see the atrial walls there, the left atrium and the right atrium. And so you see where the atrial walls lie, and there can be scarring there. And so, Joe, it looks like that this AFib issue can cause scarring.
Right, and so if you look up at that diagram where we see where it says erratic impulses, you notice, the lines are going nuts, up, down, up, down, up, down. And we also have sort of these little squiggly lines up at the top areas. Mm-hmm. That impulse, the quivering that happens with the AFib, starts to cause scar tissue to appear around the areas where the quivering has happened. And it's that scarring tissue, they believe, that's causing strokes to occur.
Okay, so this is an interesting point to know. If you know people who suffer from this, this can help you know why this is happening, possibly. People are starting to believe that AFib is a signal that the atrium is sick, according to Cowie. All right, so at least it is a sign, right, that there is potentially a problem. And then we learn about the rate of stroke in older people, Joe.
Right. So the rate of stroke in older people is about 1% to 2% per year. And you might say to yourself, well, that's pretty low. It's okay. But a stroke is very serious. And so even a low percentage is still pretty scary. But actually, it turns out that people with AFib, it's higher.
That's right. Among those diagnosed with AFib, the risk is roughly 3 times that high. And so if you have this condition, you need to be careful and, think about the symptoms that you have and, seek medical help. Go to the doctor.
Right. So the point is having AFib greatly increases your risk of stroke. And it's a big indicator. You might have heart problems. So that's why they want people to get checked out and make sure, if you have this AFib condition, that it's diagnosed and that you get the proper treatment.
Yeah, speaking of treatment, there's medication that you will probably need to take that the doctor will prescribe, and we have a sidebar there about that at the bottom of page 23. Joe, could you read that for us?
Right, so we have at the bottom of page 23, prescribing meds. After the study, anticoagulants were prescribed for 72 patients who were found to have undiagnosed AFib. Coe said patients in the general population with silent AFib may also benefit from taking the drugs, though trials are underway to make sure.
Okay, thank you. So they did prescribe this medication to patients there, 72 of them, And, but they weren't yet diagnosed with AFib. But Linda, it looks like they could possibly still benefit from this medication.
Right. But I'm a little bit unsure about just giving anticoagulants or medication to the general population if, you know, you haven't been diagnosed, because my theory is less medication, the better, you know?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, or some people think that they don't just automatically go take medicine every time they're sick, right? They try to, you know, reserve that for just extreme situations.
Right. You know, I think this is especially true in the United States. Sometimes, you know, countries that have better medical systems, people, you know, they get a cold, they're in the hospital. But in the United States, where our medical insurance and our medical system is not as great, people will often just keep putting it off. If it's not serious, if my arm's still attached to my shoulder, nah, don't worry about it, I'll feel better.
Right, and it's not about the quality of medical care necessarily, it's about the cost.
Right.
And a lot of people, maybe they can't afford it. And even maybe they get to a place where they can't afford it, but it's just in their mind that you don't go to a doctor when you have a cold. I'll just go to the local drugstore and get some over-the-counter medication because it's not that serious. But in another country where it's very cheap to go get medical care, you'll go for almost anything, possibly. Not everyone does, but because it's cheaper. And so it really depends on where you live. But I think there is something to the thinking that maybe you shouldn't over-medicate, right? Because your body can sometimes, I guess, get used to that medication, and it won't be as helpful if you're constantly taking medication. I'm not a doctor, but I guess that's the thinking behind it.
Right, and that definitely makes sense. And so it's all about balance, right? Mm. A lot of life is just about balancing things out and knowing when medication is going to be helpful for you.
Yeah. So we've come to the end, basically, of this article. What's the main point they're trying to get across here, Linda?
They're trying to inform people about this heart condition, AFib, and to find out if you have it. And if you do, then take the proper treatment, proper procedure, so that you can prevent any strokes or any other potential heart issues.
And actually, there are many people that they may have it and not know it.
Right, and we've seen a couple of times that they've talked about undiagnosed AFib or silent AFib, and here what's really important is understanding those telltale indicators, those signs that we have that tell us that there's some kind of problem, and to really take those signs seriously. I think a lot of times, like, I don't know how often people check blood pressure, but even something as simple as that is so important, just to know how is your blood pressure, is it normal, and if it's not, go get it checked out.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good reminder for me, because in the past I've had, I guess, borderline high blood pressure, so I do need to keep an eye on that. I do try to exercise some. Hopefully, of course, that will help. But it's a good reminder to go and get a check. Maybe you have one in your home, and you can check your blood pressure using a machine there as well. At the top of page 23, we referred to this already, but let's look at that again. We have a diagram, and it shows us a normal ECG. First of all, what does ECG stand for, Linda?
Electrocardiogram.
Okay, and then this is the graph, right? It can also stand for electrocardiograph. And so there on the left, we see that this is what your heart is supposed to look like, and we see the left and right atriums. And then on the right side, if you suffer from AFib, we see those erratic impulses and those squiggly lines that Joe mentioned earlier. That's, you know, what's represented there. And so that's what you don't want. And so if you have this procedure, the electrocardiograph, if that is performed and you see this, well, it'll help you to know maybe what the issue is. And then you will possibly have to start taking these blood thinning medications, and hopefully that will help in a big way, because we don't want those clots to form.
Exactly. And you also have these other indicators such as diabetes or high blood pressure. So you already have some health conditions, and you might be taking medication for those things, but they're also natural things that you can do. Like you can exercise more. Yeah. If weight is an issue, then you do things to reduce your weight so that you're less prone to these conditions.
Right. So much of this is just maintaining a healthy lifestyle. But also, you know, if you are experiencing dizziness, shortness of breath, and especially palpitations, you know, even if you're not older, you should still get yourself checked out. Mm. I remember getting diagnosed with a heart condition when I was 15, and I was experiencing those things. And actually, there was a developmental issue with my heart. And, you know, as a 15-year-old, I'm not thinking about, oh, I'm getting dizzy a lot. I must have a heart condition.
Right.
But if you're experiencing these kinds of symptoms regularly, you should definitely go see a doctor.
Absolutely. And we can take our health for granted. We think, I'm doing okay now, so I can continue to eat unhealthy foods or not exercise because, hey, I'm doing okay at the moment. But we need to think ahead. And we need to exercise now, so hopefully 10 years from now, we will still be in good health. And so that's a good point that Linda mentioned, is that not only can we take medication that may be necessary, but we can also hopefully do some other things like exercise and eat the right kinds of foods.
Right. And I think another thing to add in here is, you know, as you get older, regular physicals. Go in, see a doctor once a year. It's like a tune-up. You know, we work on our scooters, we work on our cars. You know, go get your body checked out.
That's true. It's important to go get those checkups every year after, you know, you get older, and make sure that everything is working properly. Well, thank you for joining us for day two of our Newsworthy Clips article. We have more to talk about tomorrow on day three, the final day of this Newsworthy Clips feature. So please join us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
Joe,
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.